What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, yeah, so we picking up the crowd noise now. Dude, it's hot as shit out here is what I want to say first.
Man.
It's hot in the motherfucker out here. It's not even hot, it's just superhuman. Let's just take care of the bills. As usual, ttcharities.org. Please check out the website. Donate what you can. Time, money, clothes, books, whatever it is they need at the time. Even a repost or a retweet goes a long way. Also, bringing us cakeys. If you don't know what a cakey is, it is something the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake. They have icing. They come in a lot of different flavors. Super dope. Check them out. Rina's Cakeys. R-I-N-A-S dot. I'm fucking it all up. R-I-N-A-S Cakeys. I know how to spell cakeys, damn it.
You gotta know how to spell cakeys.
Last but not least, the big homie Alex, celebrityhaircorp.com. Get all of your natural hair extensions taken care of with the added bonus of no tax, free shipping. I said last but not least, but then we got RG mode.
RG mode?
I'm gonna go ahead and let Rich say, you know the details on the RG mode. He had the whole script the last episode.
And I had a script. I had a script in front of me then. I don't got a script in front of me now. But RG mode, basically just a Chicago born, New York raised, Texas living right now. Interior designer, stylist, all around DIY guru, anything you want to know about anything, beauty, makeup, hair supplies, she got it. Check out rgmode.com or YouTube.com/C/rgmode.
What's up? Man, I'd like to just thank the White Pan Society, man, for coming out and hanging out with us tonight at Sir Rod Entertainment's tailgate. And I mean, it's one of the things that it's rare that we get to come out here and have a podcast, man. But we thank you guys for coming out and playing with us tonight, man. We get serious, but we love to play. We got a Mickey Mouse of USA over here and hanging out with us. We got Killer
JCTV
Mike.
JCTV and his beats.
We got really the Killer Mike in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I did not say motherfucker. I said motherfucker. And I'm running for mayor.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Rod. He's on his 10th drink. He's been cut off. Are we cutting him off? Yeah. We're cutting him off.
I can't help it that Dave Chappelle is my kinfolk.
Look at him name dropping in this motherfucker. He name dropping.
Now, man, shout out Rod, man. People meeting, people making memories. JCTV, Google me. I'm Googleable. JACEYDAVID.
Mic check one, two. Well, that's actually all I got.
Yeah, man.
But,
I got it.
This is going to be the original how we come on and how we go out.
Oh, I got bars. Boy, hey. Oh, I got bars. Playing around, but I'm
fucking. This motherfucker sound like me with Jay-Z.
Here we go, pal.
We always go good.
Yeah. My pig game is strong, Marcus Aurelius. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. Just go.
No, you do. I got to.
No, I already know where you're going with.
Do you?
Yes.
No, you go, man.
I promise you.
Go. Whipper from. No, you got to go.
No, my pick is strong. All right. Really.
Nigga, you better pick up.
Yeah, I will. I promise.
Whipper from Charlotte's Web to go ham. Go bacon, extra crispy, fried rice, Louis Tran. Methodical and Danny, no escape. They call me Quicksand. Take a page out your Bible, biblical Corinthian. Out with the Old Testament. That is you. You recycle garbage, piece of trash, testament. I'm new. Fuck Superman, Thor, and the tagger that's Goku. I'm a fighter, Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, and Fufu. Hey, presentation is pristine. Mysticline, Listerine, who's a queen? I's a king. You a dope, and I bring a drink like a Mexican. Fuck like an African, aggressive ass fuck. Run them up like a Russian. Toilet bowl niggas, defecation, now you're flushing you. This who will fuck your bitch, then fuck your bitch. I screw her too. Flathead Phillips power drill. If I got the tools, bruh, blowing on my brass instrument, I call you too, but yo, Mr. Mountain Dew, flow is sick as Jordan's food. 627, boy, got you stuck on me like me. Guaranteed to touch the masses while you only touch a few. Big dick, big swag nigga with the brown shoe. Mr. Mountain Dew, flow was sick as Jordan's flu. 6'2 Southern boy, got you stuck on me like glue. Guaranteed to touch the masses while you only touch a few. Big dick, big swag, nigga with the brownish shoe.
Yeah. Hey, why you only touch a few?
JCTV, people meeting people, make memories ride. White pants, got that podcast entertainment. Tailgate, motherfucking 18th and Trinity. UT, we out.
What's going on, man?
How you doing? Yeah. I know he said Rich or something. What's that name?
Yeah, my name is Jared. That's my homie Rich. We got him muted right now, so. What's your name?
I'm Herman.
PB, like Herman, all that stuff. Live from Dallas, Texas. No, we in Austin. That's right. So, what I'm supposed to do? This is my first podcast.
Hey, man, you just.
Talk about whatever. We ain't got no subject, no nothing. We ain't got no shoot. You ain't gonna shoot no ant.
You want me to give you,
give me some stuff, man. That way we can talk about some stuff that, you know, talk about anything, some political wreck, sports, whatever you want to hear, so you can hear from somebody's point of view that's halfway tipsy, so they know that shit.
I feel you.
And I mix with black and white, so I've got both point of views. What are we talking about?
All right, so let's talk about the Cam Newton shit with this.
Okay.
His comments about
the chick.
The chick, yeah.
And when she said, okay. So my original thought was, because I got two little girls, and then my whole family is women.
Yes.
I got one cousin. I got two cousins dudes. That's it. Our whole family is nieces and a whole bunch of women. So when he said it, I heard it on the radio first. So it sounded like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, but when I seen it on the video and he was kind of smiling,
yeah,
it changed my point of view. So my first point of view was like, come on, Cam. I mean, I love your ass. Like, you do a lot of shit for a lot of charities, a lot of everything, kids yeah, everything. So there's so many people that look up to you. Oh, man, it disappointed me at first. And then I seen the video, it kind of changed my mind because he kind of smiling and doing this back and forth. And I felt like it was a compliment towards her. Like, you talking about saying, routes?
Yeah. Like,
and he just dropped it. Like, I feel like if he would have kept going, like, you talking about routes, like, damn, girl, okay, cool. And if he would have discussed it, like, after he was like, okay, since you're going to talk about routes, and I can't believe a girl telling me about routes, and he would have discussed it a little bit more in depth, then I think he would have got a pass after he would have said it. I think once he dropped his thing and just said, talking about routes. So, with him apologizing, first of all, should nobody drop nobody for nothing like that? And as I think I seen somebody said, they want to drop him anyway. If it take that little thing, that company wanted to drop him anyway. Yeah. I seen somebody say that. I don't want to take credit for nothing like that. So it makes sense that the situation we is in America right now, that they quick, because they want to make sure that they're like, okay, we own y'all right now. We own y'all. So if you say something wrong, take your money away. That's fine. And that's what the military used to do. I am military. I'm ex-military. So that's what military used to do. You fuck up, they take your shit away. That's the first thing they do. Take your money and take your rank away. So you can't fuck up for 4 years. That's you get signed on. But go back to Cam Newton. I don't think nobody should have dropped him, because I think I seen another post where the dude said, the company that dropped them is still in with the NFL after all the other women violence stuff. Like the New York stuff.
Like,
yeah, so
like, cool,
how you gonna drop
that
him, but you still with the NFL, and they didn't hire a couple dudes that been beating women. So the Cam Newton thing is, I did appreciate the product. I know a lot of people say he shouldn't have to do it, but I think I did appreciate it because the way he expressed it and said that he had two women and two daughters.
Yeah.
And then I felt like he was sincere.
Yeah.
Even though he was forced to say it. But I still think it was sincere, no matter what. I don't care if you had your own job and you do something wrong and your boss say, my name is Herman.
He did it like from his house, like he wasn't at the facility, he wasn't
nothing
in front, like he just
didn't and I didn't see him looking at nothing.
Yeah.
He was kinda looking down, looking up, not looking at no paper, nothing, just, and I felt like if my job told me, Herman, you fucked up on this situation right here. So the clientele is needing something. And if apology is what it takes, and I know that I didn't mean no harm, but I still want to maintain my image with my company, because I still want to have my rapport with my real boss. But if my clients was not happy and then I give them an apology, which is sincere, not just a fake apology, I felt like if I listen to my boss and they say, yes, it was this and that, but we still love you, Herman. Like, we still feel like we didn't think that you meant no harm. But the way it looks, we need you to have our back, and we got your back. And so let's go ahead and do this, and then we good. And I don't feel like that's selling out. I don't feel like it's nothing. And I feel like it's what he had. I mean, he didn't have to do it, but I feel like it was a positive thing because it shined some light. I guarantee if he wouldn't have did it, it'd been even worse. It would have been worse. The way America's going right now, it's crazy. It's like one little step on a white person, one little step on a black person can blow up like that in an instant. Like, this is what they did to them. They ain't do this to them. This is what they did to them. They ain't do this to them.
The crazy thing for me is that, like, I seen Cam do interviews and, like, post-game stuff before, and he normally comes out there in a suit or whatever. Like, he's normally way more composed than he was for that one. And almost the way he was laughing, and it didn't seem like he was 100% there. Like, I don't know if, you know,
I see what you're saying.
He might have, you know.
But he won. So I'm trying to figure out what. So that's why you got the whole thing. Like, maybe he was joking. And then.
Maybe he was joking. Maybe he took a bunch of hits that game and had to take some pain meds or something.
We don't know the whole. You're right.
Like, the way he was getting. That's not. It didn't seem like a typical Cam interview for me.
The only time I've ever seen Cam veer off from Cam Newton is after he lost Super Bowl. And he didn't want to talk. He didn't want to do that. And that's because people was right. The other Super Bowl team was a couple feet right next to him. Yeah. Who want to talk and see that and laugh and joke and stuff? But that's the only time I ever seen him get out of character. Other than that, he's happy-go-lucky. That dude do a lot for the community.
Yeah.
So I just feel like us as a black community, of course, we're going to go to Cam defense and be like, this shouldn't even happen. This shouldn't even went that far. But then again, us as a people, yes, I think sometimes it can get misconstrued as far as, and then you can't please everybody, I know that, but if you can please one or two people, I feel like to me, I think he pleased me both ways. First, I was disappointed, then I was happy. Then when he did the whole speech, I felt like I was both.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people was like, it was unnecessary, and I felt like it was both.
It went a long way. Like, it had to, like you said, it had to happen. If it didn't happen,
I feel like it would have been way worse.
This would have spiraled into something.
And I hope people don't bring up that he did that so he wouldn't lose most sponsors.
No.
I hope people don't start bringing it along. Well, shit, he jumped on the coon bandwagon. That's what they want to say real quick. People that don't watch the NFL no more want to call everybody that watch the NFL coons. And I tell my boys, I said, no, it's just something to get away from life from sometimes, man. It ain't got nothing to do with me being a coon. I'm like, but you watch college football, so you just going to watch. Just stop watching all football if you don't watch nothing else. Because the college players in the Little League, they trying to get to the NFL. They trying to get to the coon status. Is that what you're saying? So you going to root them on while they over here making touchdowns in college? So, I mean, what you going to do? I hate it whenever we belittle ourselves as far as a group and just be like, okay, I accept what you're saying, accept what I'm saying. Just don't. Don't battle me, though. I hate when we battle each other. We always battle each other, man. I feel like we the only culture that battle each other on everything.
And sometimes it's set in motion. Like, I had this down as something I wanted to talk to Rich about. But I was listening to another podcast the other day, and they was talking about, like hip-hop and genres of music. And they was like, hip-hop is the only genre across the board that gets separated into, like, East Coast, West Coast, down
Midwest,
south, South, New York, like, South, they don't talk about, like, East Coast country.
Country,
it's just country music. Like, hip-hop, the only one. And it's not really us that started that. Like, people just start, like, you know, the powers that be started.
We didn't start that?
Started labeling shit. I don't think we did. I feel like it came from us. And we started labeling, like hip-hop got to be separated into all of these little... I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like that kind of got put on us, and then we ran with it. Like, yeah, I'm East Coast. I'm West Coast. I'm down South.
So you rep your...
Yeah, you start
the first thing you start repping, yeah. And then you got to rep.
Because
if you don't, you're probably not going to make it.
Yeah.
You probably, honestly, if you're a good rapper and you don't say where you're from and kind of keep saying it as you keep rapping, you're probably not going to make it either in that region...
Out there,
yeah. Or just period. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're gonna be like, oh, this motherfucker ain't rapping where he from. Shit, well, shit. And then the motherfuckers that you in the region is, they ain't gonna buy your shit.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta, if you can rap really good, they want you to rap for the region or where you, or even the state. Like,
and you don't necessarily have to rap that good, but if you rapping hard enough,
so I don't, so I'm gonna go ahead and go against you on the whole. I feel like you said you don't think we started. I think we did. And I think a lot of the East Coast, of course, I feel like a lot of that shit came from over there, and then they kind of just branched off to where was it back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, where they was sitting there rapping and they had the boxing. Yeah, they had everything on their arm. So I feel like it started coming back this way, and then you have different country style. You have proper style in New York. I mean in California. You got the New York slang. And I feel, honestly, I feel like Midwest is a combination of a whole bunch of shit. You can get a fast rapping motherfucker. You can get a slow talking motherfucker from Midwest, man. It's just like, goddamn. But they so cool and calm in the Midwest. It's like they almost can go either way. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of Southern people love Midwest rap. Like, we love it. And I feel like Cali has came a long way, actually. Like, they started falling off a long time ago. I felt like it was some garbage shit. But then they, to me personally, I feel like they came a long way as far as all they new artists they got now. Yeah. They shit, like, for the last 10 years. I remember when I was in Navy, from 2002 to 2006, Game was one of the hardest rappers I had ever heard, as far, because I knew 50 was hot. And then he put on Game, but they just clashed because they was two bulls. And Game wasn't finna have, you ain't finna just control me, yeah. So, but when I used to listen, when I was living out in Cali, it was all about Game. Like, he had shoes coming out. I bought some Game shoes, yeah, coming out. Man, I was out there, man, I'm like, man, this dude is the truth. And then all of a sudden everything just broke off, and I'm like, damn, man, what's happening now in Cali? I mean, we had the old school rappers, but they was old by then. I mean, of course we got E-40, Too Short. Of course, the Dog Pound, everything else. I mean,
we even break it down like that. Like, now it's like old school versus new school. Like,
I feel like they
fuck with the mumble rap, or you don't fuck with the mumble rap. Like,
I listened to Ice Cube stuff the other day. He was on YouTube. Oh, I guess he got a podcast himself. And they was asking him what you think about it. And they were saying that Ice-T said Soulja Boy ruined everything. Like, he just put it on Soulja Boy. And Ice Cube said, Ice-T, my dude. I've been on Ice-T like a long, long time. He was like, but you cannot put everything on Soulja Boy. He's saying, Soulja Boy, you know, he cool. I mean, I like Soulja Boy. He was like, but you cannot put everything on Soulja Boy. And he said, then again, he said, I got kids, man. And they like all that shit. He said, so if they like it, that's what they in. He was like, when we was out, they was in the gangster rap. That's what it was. They was into it. Right now, they into all this. So I can't knock any of the new people that's making their money. He's like, he says, us old cats got to just let them have it, man. This is the new stuff. He was like, we got to stop trying to be like, nah, you got to go this way. It's the only way you got to go. This is the only way you got to go. And this is how it's going to be for rap music. No, just let them have it. It took me a while, too. I can't listen that much mumble rap. I mean, I might, it give me a good beat, and I'd be saying, all right, man. But it started talking about some bullshit, and I was like, all right, man. But I'm starting to get around to it, because I got a younger cousin that I always been putting me on. And it took me about 3 years. I was like, God damn. It took me 3 years to like Migos. I'm liking them now, to this day.
I haven't made it there yet.
I'm not going to lie. I would listen to them, and I was like, they actually saying some real shit. It's just that you got to get past the. And then once I got used to it, I'm like, they actually saying some pretty cool shit. Like, it's like with 2 Chainz and 2 Chainz that do that to you. First, when he first started out, I was like, man, the hell, this shit sound corny. But then I started listening to him a little bit more, and I'm like, he actually spitting some. He'll do a little, you know, some shit. You'd be like, oh, damn, he said that, and he said that.
2 Chainz got bars.
Yeah, but I feel like Migos got, like, I feel like I was holding myself back when I was like, all right, I don't want to listen to that shit. I can't do it, because I'm 33 years old. How old are you?
36.
So we both know lyrics. We used to getting the lyrical, you know, with the beats.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you get these beats, and you be like, damn, that beat hard. And that dude just come in trash, and everybody dancing to it. You be like, I'll be damned. And then they keep playing over and over, so you start bobbing your head a little bit like, all right, well, shit, all right, well. He did just say that, okay. Oh, all right. Well. And you just start getting used to it. And then when Ice Cube said that shit, he was like, I feel like it's their time now. Let's let them have it. So that's the rap thing.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't turned the corner yet. Like, I just, like I said, I'm still at that point where I'm just like, I see an interview with you and you wearing this blouse looking shirt, whatever. I'm like, I can't listen to it. It's nothing that can come out your mouth that would be something I want to hear.
Now that, okay, let me bring up another subject then, since you surrounded with that. I feel like it's a lot of femininity. When me and you was growing up, there ain't no way in hell man, you might die on stage, you burn some shit out there. The fuck that nigga? Shoot that nigga, man. Shoot him right there. Now, I don't know if it's a trend to where they are real straight dudes and like women, and it's just the trend where big baggy shirts was a trend in the South. What was it, sagging pants? I don't know if it's sagging them all.
But it's everything. It's not even the dress, like
the dancing.
I have a hard time right now finding other dudes that's in the sport. I have a hard time finding other, like, male friends.
Like, being like, hey, man, what team you like? And they be like, oh, shit, I don't even really watch.
Yeah, I don't watch football.
It's the new millennium. Me and you are in the same group as far as our time is. We got
no question. Like, we watched football. We played football. Whatever.
Everything. Like, everything. We wasn't on. I mean, you were. I think I was playing. What was it? Bulls versus Lakers on Sega. That shit was slow as hell.
Hey.
Man, if you got Jordan, you're going to win every game anyway. So
it's got to be Madden. We play NBA Live. We play all that shit.
So now I feel like it's just too much out there for them to even care about. Like, they don't even. Like, we used to go out. And, like, I lived in apartments for all my life, so it was a whole bunch of kids out there. We used to go out there and play football, right? I can't even get my son to go out there. Man, go on, get out there, man. Go play a little bit. And then go out there for 30 minutes and get tired. That's because you out of shape. You don't even know how to play, man. Get your tablet and get on that motherfucker and start playing games. So I just feel like their generation is totally different as far as, like, what we were talking about. They don't like, everybody don't like everything, man. It's crazy. And then I think that's why NFL losing a lot of. They think it's the flag and the kneeling shit. But honestly, it's just, first of all, you have too many avenues to watch it. So you're not even getting your real ratings. You got all these computers that you can just download, watch shit for free.
They fucked me up last year. I remember trying to watch Thursday Night Football. And that's when it started broadcasting on Yahoo or something. Like,
there it is. They do it for the first two or three weeks. They do it on Yahoo from England, and they do it from Thursday Night Football. And then once the good games come on,
I tell you, it's hot out this motherfucker.
Once the good games come on, they put that shit on CBS and get it rolling. But you're right. We all had fun games. Our mama and daddy would be like, well, my mama was the main one to have me watching college basketball, NCAA. I don't even think people watch March Madness no more, really.
Yeah, nah.
It used to be a thing, man. I used to see Corliss Williams, man, out there just to Arkansas. It's crazy. But
it's
NFL think it's more about the kneeling and not the kneeling. When reality is, it's just you have a lot of different outlets. You have a lot of different people that don't care about football, really. They weren't really sports fans anyway. I feel like anybody that drop off, they really didn't care anyways. I always tell people that. I got a couple homeboys that said, we're not going to watch it. That we just not gonna do it. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm gonna watch Cowboys. That's just what I am. I'm a Cowboy fan. So, and I feel like, and they from Ohio. A lot of them from Ohio. And I feel like y'all wasn't even fans anyways. Because when I was talking to them years back, they was only college fans anyway. They all went to Ohio State, so they only went to watch college football anyway. So when they moved to Texas and Dallas, they had to kind of rip for Cincinnati or the Browns. So they had to kind of get in there and rep for them. But I feel like once that all this shit started happening, they were like, oh, so it's easy to cut off. There ain't nothing to me. And then women that's with them, they going to ride for they do. Oh, we ain't watching this shit. That's fine. Yeah, we going to do that.
But I just think, like, everything that...
Speaking about that, how you feel about that?
About
everything. Just, Kaepernick, kneeling, military, everything.
So I put this on Facebook the other day, like, a protest, by definition, is supposed to upset you. Like, you don't protest by, like, rubbing somebody back. Like, you don't protest by doing something to make you happy. Like, I'm supposed to do something that's going to bother you because what the issue is don't bother you. Like, black folks getting killed in the street by the police, the people that's supposed to protect them, don't seem to ruffle your feathers. So let me find something that will ruffle your feathers, and then maybe to get me to stop doing that, you'll do something about this over here. So, yeah, I'm going to pick this thing that you're going to see. It's going to fuck with you. It's going to make you upset. It's supposed to make you upset. Don't tell me to find something that's not going to upset you as my way of protesting, because that's not a protest. If I protest by planting flowers or some shit, then that's not going to work. Like, you don't give a fuck. I got to do something that's going to make you mad so that maybe you'll start paying attention to the fact that I'm getting shot in the street, you know? And I had, like, I got arrested for a DWI last year. And at the time, I was just, like, really embarrassed or whatever. My mom was calling me. I wouldn't answer the phone. It didn't dawn on me until, like, a month later that she wasn't calling me to, like, get on me about getting a DWI, getting arrested. She was calling me because a black man getting arrested these days, she don't know whether I'm dead or alive. Like, and they don't realize this is the reality that we live in. Like, this is not their reality. This is, they don't live in that world, but we do. And so we're trying to find something that's going to make you say, look at our lives. And so people are not, when Rosa Parks sat down on that bus, she wasn't protesting public transportation, you know? She was protesting the way black people were being treated. These people aren't protesting the flag. We're not saying that the flag is bad. We're not saying that the soldiers are bad. We're not saying that, you know, we don't agree with America. We're saying America is fucking us over right now. And y'all please do something to help. Look over here, really. Like, you focusing on somebody kneeling in front of a flag, but they kneeling because they want you to look over here. Want you to look.
They deflect.
They're trying to turn it into what it's not. And that, you know, and that kind of bothers me. I understand, like, most of my family is military. I thought I was going to go to the military, but I didn't. But, you know, I love the flag. Like, I'm one of the people that gets upset if I see somebody who got a flag hanging outside their house and it's raggedy and shit, like, the shit been outside too long. Like, I...
Change your flag.
Yeah, change your flag. Or get the right... I hate when people put the wrong size flag.
Oh, wrong shit. Yeah.
Like, I did ROTC in high school, so I grew up with that kind of, like, the flag don't touch the ground. It ain't supposed to be tattered like that. You know, if it's tattered, you got to retire that. You know, you got to do shit.
It's crazy, but yeah. So, all right, so I'm a piggyback off everything you just said because I agree with it. I say at least 99% of that shit. The only thing I don't like is that we have to keep saying, we as in black people, you have to keep saying that I am not disrespecting the flag. I am not disrespecting the military. We should not even have to say that part. And we shouldn't. I don't even know how it came to that point, to where we even have to go that far to even say, I'm doing this for this reason, and I'm not disrespecting nobody, this, this, and that. And then they got to explain that they got to, like you just said, I got a military, this, this, and that. I got to do it. It shouldn't even go that far. Because you know what that is? It's feeding into that bullshit that they trying to deflect. Because obviously you're distracting your own self and your own heart and saying, let me say all this beforehand so I can kneel or so I can be pro-kneel. I feel like they keep doing that shit, and I hate that we have to keep explaining. I wish somebody would be like, I ain't explaining shit to you. I want to kneel because I know what it is.
The crazy shit for me is that, like, I recently watched those, that OJ versus America. I mean,
right.
You know, and they was talking about deferment tapes, and they played the tapes where, you know, he was talking about how the police, you know, target black dudes.
Drink on everything.
Oh.
And it's like,
where y'all been, man?
I've been over here talking. Where the hell he go?
I've been with y'all for the past 45 minutes.
I don't know where the hell Steve went. He went with that chick there.
White girl?
Yes, so.
She ain't new. Ain't no black chick been out here, so.
Yeah, she I can't, bro.
Like my dad said, obelisk.
Right. They right there playing beer pong.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's like back then we had proof. Like, we've been telling y'all that the police been fucking us over for forever, but here we got the dude on tape saying he did it.
A couple decades later,
it's like we gotta prove it all over again. Like y'all still don't believe it happened, and now we gotta prove to you again that the same shit that was happening then, that was happening decades before that, is still happening.
And I swear to God, you're making my point for me. We should not have to prove why we fucking kneeling. Yeah. And besides saying I'm kneeling for this cause, what you just said, I shouldn't have to say I'm kneeling, boom, everybody that's looking at podcasts, I'm kneeling right now. But I shouldn't have to turn my whole neck and look at every person that's there, that hates me for kneeling and say, but I respect the military and everything that's going on in the military and the flag. I shouldn't have to do that because you should already be understood while I'm kneeling. I shouldn't have to waste my fucking breath and say that. And I feel like that shit is annoying as hell. I swear to God, if I was rich and I was known or something, I'm kneeling. What you gonna do about it? If I had, and there's a lot of things that I don't agree with as far as the teams I like Cowboys. I like the Cowboys, but I feel like Jerry Jones has a stranglehold on that whole organization that we're in.
I feel like that was not one person. A cop out. the way they came out.
What you say is that, okay, I have a lot of, I have, it's a mix, it's actually, it's 95% thing is it was a cop out. And I was probably like 5% of foreign, like, thank you, Jerry, for, because he never agreed with Nealon anyways. But you know what? Something opened his eyes. Something. Yeah. See, I felt like it was a stepping stone. Okay, this man said, you know what? Y'all say we can freedom of speech, so let me freedom of speech myself too. Yeah. Y'all want to kneel, but I don't like it, so let's do something that we both like. And they, I know a lot of people thought it was a cop-out, but I felt like that's a stepping stone to an older white man that's
older white,
very
that's a good
raised
point.
Up
that's
in
a
the
good
South
point.
From Arkansas.
And he had all
in
the power
South,
in that situation.
Everything. Yeah. And he took it upon himself to say, let's just do both. Because so y'all can respect me and I can respect y'all. But everybody thought it was, nah, this is some bullshit. That's just another way to get it out the way so he can get away with it, what he gonna do with. But I honestly looked at it like, do you know how much ground rule you just made? This man last year, this man said, literally, he didn't say it to them, but he said it in interviews. The Cowboys do it right, they don't kneel. So that's basically saying,
if you
don't
kneel.
Don't kneel. Yeah. But you made a whole step in 1 year, and that man kneeled for you. For you.
And he, we running out of
oh, my bad,
out of tape.
Man.
No. This
when
is
I
dope.
Come, they're going to run out of tape.
This is dope, man. I appreciate it, man.
I thank y'all. I'm going to try to come back for more tailgates, man. I know I live in Dallas, but y'all
always
be out here.
This is the first time we got invited. I mean, I think Rod going to invite us back. So, you know, if he invites us back, we're going to be here. So, this was fun. Gonna, this was great.
Jonathan got some stuff going on in Dallas to practice this morning. Got to get out there.
What do Facebook? Can anybody request some shit? Or what we got to do?
Facebook, Instagram.
So, yeah, the website is on there, and everything is on the website. And my email address, you can email me. Whatever.
I work with the DA in a big-ass building. Can I take some of these?
Yeah, take it all you want, man.
I'm going to tell them. Trust me, man. I appreciate it, though. I feel like we had some.
Now, that was a good
combo,
conversation,
man.
I really appreciate that.
That's a good combo. From a mixed guy that was in the military. I want them to know that. Black and white in the military, and I still have perspective on everything. I appreciate it, man.
That was dope.
Y'all enjoy yourself.
Same to you, man.
I like these.
All right, so we got Billy Journey. Go ahead. I mean, how do you want to be?
Just Billy.
I had this one as well. This is not sports related, but I was listening to another podcast, and we were talking about, you know, hip hop and the way, you know, sort of black music is treated differently from other genres of music. And one of the rappers brought up a good point to me. And he said that hip hop is the only genre of music that gets separated into these, like, West Coast, East Coast, down South, New York, Midwest. Like, you don't have, like,
yeah, the
Midwest
geographic
country.
Splits. Right.
You don't have, like, West Coast pop. Like, hip-hop is the only one that gets, like, pitted against itself.
Right.
In that sort of sense. And I was just talking to the other guy. I don't remember what his name was. But and we were trying to decide whether that was something that we did or that something that kind of got pushed upon us. Like, I felt... And I don't know where I'm getting this from, but this is like a feeling that I felt that's something that kind of got forced. So we're talking about the way genres of music, and that hip-hop is the only genre of music that gets segregated into geographical regions. Like, you don't have West Coast country, you know, you don't have Midwest pop. Like, it's just pop music.
We did that.
So we did that.
Yeah.
So give me where you think it happened. Or when you think it happened. Like, what? I don't remember the genesis of us segregating ourselves into these boxes.
I remember in 79, Sugar Hill was the... I remember in 79 that Sugar Hill came out with, the Sugar Hill Gang and that sort of thing. However, it quickly morphed into EPMD.
Right.
I wish I could think of somebody right now, but I've been drinking. But at the same time, I remember East Coast came out. And then East Coast was like, you know, rap comes from the East Coast. That's where it is. You know, okay, I accept that. But the problem lied where around 1989.
I was alive, though.
Okay. problem lies right around 1989. It seemed like the East Coast decided that rap was their baby, and you can't have this baby. Well, you know, there's the Southern rap now. You've got UGK. You've got Spice One. You've got Harris. You've got all of these guys that are coming out from the West Coast, the South, the Dirty South, as they call it. And then when they tried to come out, or when they did come out, it was like, oh, I rap better than them. That's when all of this animosity kind of started up. You know, it wasn't the animosity, Tupac, Biggie animosity. It was just animosity. This is the best rap. Well, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. When UGK came out, you know, I'm from the South, and it related and it spoke to me from the South more than it did, you know, East Coast rappers. I still listen to it. You know, I love De La Soul. You know, I loved all of those guys. But
you know what you sound like right now? You sound like a white person to say, some of my best friends are black.
Oh, man. Do I? But no, I'm just saying, that's when it started to become or manifest itself into rivalries to me.
I'd say probably about 87, man. When Two Live Crew came out.
6 years old.
And then you had a lot of the West Coast cats coming out. Too Short. You know, and just my opinion, right? I didn't write a blog back in 87 or do any research. But I think rap that wasn't from the East Coast wasn't accepted on the East Coast. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, you might remember, or if you do some research on it, look up some stuff. You know, they didn't like the South's bass. They thought it was too bassy. They didn't like that TR-808 that we was dropping. The SV-12s. You know, they didn't really like that shit.
As a kid that grew up in the, I mean, I'm born in 81. Probably I didn't become hip-hop aware until 89, 90, somewhere in there. But I remember Kumo. Like, I grew up with Kumo D, you know, Big Daddy Kane,
right.
LL, Heavy D, MC Light, Rob Bass, you know. Like, these were the videos and shit I remember watching as a kid.
Yeah, we all did.
And it wasn't so much that when the West Coast hip-hop came out, I was like, that's West Coast, you know, and that's why I don't like it. It didn't sound like what I was used to as hip-hop music. You know?
Right.
And so yeah, it did seem inferior. It didn't seem like they were as lyrical, or like something was off about that music.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, you know, the geographic areas were spurning their own different music. Yeah. You know, Ghetto Boys dropped before N.W.A. I don't know if y'all knew that or not.
Yeah.
But they came out before N.W.A., dog.
But I remember, like Ghetto Boys hit in the East Coast,
they hit in the 90s.
Tricks on me.
That was in the 90s, though. Their first album was very, very Houstonish. You know, it wasn't DJ Screw Houstonish because he didn't exist. But that shit was Texas,
and it was one of them rappers that transcends.
That's straight up Texas.
Right,
yeah.
Like, it was there's gangsta. Nobody from any geographic area that's not gonna say Scarface is the top 10.
Yeah.
MC.
Right.
But, you know, you had a bunch of stuff coming out. You know, Dallas had its own scene. We had Nemesis. We had Ron C.
Yeah.
You know, we had stuff coming out, man. Legendary stuff, you know, as far as we're concerned.
And the DOC.
Yeah, DOC's from Dallas. Yeah. You know, I mean, all this stuff was coming out, man. And I think it was mainly, like I said, on my opinion, it was mainly on East Coast cats because the cats, you know, they'd already been established. And you got these dudes coming up. It's just like any type of monarchy, if you will. You know, you're at the top. You don't want to see these cats who you really don't feel like you should be competing with, and maybe you can't compete with because their style's completely different than yours. Now y'all vying for the same dollars, man. Plus, like you said, the fans.
There's some legitimacy to there being subgenres or different classifications because to me, the music was different. Like this, like it this, is. This is my understanding right. of hip hop, right. and then here comes this, and this does not fit into this, and I don't.
But it is
hip hop. It is hip hop, but I don't like it, and I can't recognize it because it's like this is the bubble that's been built,
right?
And now this is completely outside of the bubble. It does, sonically, it's not the same. Lyrically, it's not the same. Like, it doesn't fit, you know, like jazz has a pattern. In order to be considered jazz, you got to fit in a pattern.
Right.
In order to be considered blues, you got to fit in a thing.
Yeah.
And then this thing came, and it didn't fit in this thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to classify it. Like maybe it does need to be, maybe this needs to be East Coast hip-hop, and this needs to be West Coast hip-hop, because they don't
mix.
Fit in each
right.
other.
And right, and I understand that. I wish the artist understood that. But here's the thing. UGK, NWA, Ghetto Boys, all those guys spoke to us in our region. All right? I love EPMD. He can tell you, I can recite just about every lyric of every Public Enemy song ever made. I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for the army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because I never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me. Them suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been? They got me sitting in a state pen. I gotta get up, but I thought was thought before. I contemplated the plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run, but a brother like me had just begun to be another one. A Public Enemy serving time to the line, y'all. They criticize me because I'm black.
There you go. Oh,
hey man, you know it's funny.
That's what that is. I mean, right. I could.
You heard it here first, motherfucker.
But I'm just saying, I love Public Enemy. It spoke to me.
The first. Well, see, and then here's where like it all went weird, because Tupac is not a West Coast artist.
But he's born in New York.
Born in New York, right. Raised in Baltimore,
right?
And then you got famous maybe on the West Coast, but he was famous before.
He was before that, yeah.
He didn't become Tupac.
Right.
Until he got to the West Coast.
Yes.
So I was getting ready to say, like, the first rap I ever memorized was from a West Coast artist, but then I don't know if I could consider Tupac a West Coast artist. So what happens when the people start moving across boundaries?
I never considered Tupac a West Coast artist, man.
I thought
he was from New York, so I'm completely with you there, you know, but then they start marketing him as a West Coast artist, so, but Tupac wasn't the first West Coast beat. You know, Rodney L. Joe Cooley came out with Fuck New York before Tupac and Biggie got into it. You know what I mean?
What was the beef? Like, what was the publicity?
I don't know, man. I think it was something to publicity do with they just wasn't accepted in New York or something. I ain't real sure. You know, Tim Dog. Him and Tim Dog or something. You know, it was like 1990, dog. I don't remember. But, you know, I mean, that was before then.
Yeah.
I think King T had some issues with New York. I mean, it's always been something, right? I mean, hell, cats in New York have problems with cats in New York. You know, MC Shan and BDP. You know, KRS-One. You know,
but I heard you talk about the Houston music or the South music, like, speaking to you because it was from your area or from your region, and they talked about things that you understood. Like, one of the weird things for me is that the music I fell in love with came from people talking about things that I couldn't relate to. But it was the way they said it, like... Like, I'm from the suburbs of D.C. Like, I grew up in Springdale, Maryland. Like,
okay.
I grew up not too far away from FedEx Field.
Okay.
You know, like, I went to school in Southeast, but, you know, like, so I saw a little bit of everything, you know, like, I know people who in that life. I'm not in that life. I don't have to be in that life, so I never was in that life.
Yeah.
So I would listen to Jay-Z, and Jay-Z is talking about that life. He's talking about these transactions and the regrets you feel and the remorse you feel, and he's talking about that life, and it never, I couldn't relate to what he was saying, but it was like, man, the way he's putting together words, the way he's, you know, these metaphors, the way he's using the language, like that is what resonated with me, and that's what I didn't feel like I got when I listened to other regions' hip hop. Like, I didn't feel like I got that same, like,
feeling
of how they took the language and played with it and made it something
sports
beautiful.
Yeah.
And, but on looking back from the other side, I did feel that with EPMD. I did feel that with KRS-One. I did feel that with Public Enemy resonated with me more than anything, and that's probably...
You are a militant motherfucker. Yeah. We have identified this shit. Like, I'm surprised you're not walking around with the motherfucking crosshairs on your chest right now. Now, I don't...
Well, what is
you
the...
You should have a black beret and some black leather gloves in the summertime for no reason. Right now, like, that should be your uniform.
I only buy black cars.
God damn it, he does only buy black cars.
That shit is true. Like, let's say, what is it? One of the famous lines I love from Public Enemy was, oh my God, I can't think right now. But you know, like they say, my boy, I love Public Enemy. And the crazy thing about it, when they used to play at the Bronco Bowl here in Dallas, was there were more white folks at their concerts than there were blacks. Yeah. I couldn't understand that.
That's always been the way that, like, I remember, I love the Roots. And I remember going to see the Roots when I was in college in Milwaukee. And I think I might have been the only black person there. I didn't see none of them. It was the Roots. I'm like, how do y'all motherfuckers even know about the Roots?
Well, realistically, man, if you want to take it back, that's why I said I don't want to label it as white people. You know, it's a particular type. It's a particular group that is pushing an agenda. And they're labeling it as we're pushing an agenda. And we're just trying to live.
And that's what gets on my nerves now. You know, it's like, you know, they're trying to blame this freaking Los Angeles on liberals, Los Angeles or Las Vegas shooting on liberals. Like, come on, man. You know, there's just no freaking way. And they said the guy had like 2 or 3 hotel rooms. You know, one of them was overlooking Chance the Rapper's deal. All right. Well, he just happened to choose the country western that night. I think he's just a crazy motherfucker. But you know,
like Dierks Bentley.
Yeah,
Dierks Bentley gonna be in my neighborhood at 6 o'clock in the morning on the 17th.
What?
So my neighborhood, we won a Good Morning America contest for our 4th of July party. We had a 4th of July block party, and we sent them footage and shit and stuff. This is my first time being like a white neighborhood 4th of July. Shit was crazy. Yeah, uh-huh. Like, I never seen no shit like this before in my life.
Uh-huh.
But we won the contest, and our prize is we get this concert from Dierks Bentley. Like, so the stage is literally going to be like right outside my house.
Wow.
But it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I got wristbands, and we trying to give them motherfuckers away because nobody want to come see Dierks Bentley at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
I don't know who Dierks Bentley is. I heard somebody say he got a song about being drunk on a boat. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Let me ask you this, man. Why is it that hip-hop's... I ain't gonna say it's only one. Maybe I should rephrase this question. If you look across all the different genres, why is this the only one that's talking about suicide and killing everybody and all that type of shit? Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah,
a lot of pop music
talks about suicide. A lot of white people, but I don't know if they talk about killing
every Marilyn
everybody.
Track.
But I think it does boil down or go back to that, like it being reality rap. Like there was a moment where it shifted from like it just being fun, and you was the MC, you ran the party, you was the mic controller. And then it went to, like, you rapping about what actually happens on your block and what people see. And like you said, I didn't grow up around any of that. And so, like, Kanye West was somebody I looked up to because Kanye West was a rapper who made it without having to go that route, without having to be like, I shoot you, I kill you, blah, I sell drugs. Ain't no Common in the same vein, Mos Def, Talib Kweli. I look up to all those guys. And when I was trying to rap, like, those are the people who I was trying to emulate. I wanted to be what Mos Def was to me, to somebody else.
Okay.
So I think there is a lot of hip-hop that doesn't focus on any of those things. But the money is behind the hip hop that does.
So that's why I asked that question. So
I get mad at people like Oprah Winfrey, who comes out and is vocal against rap music, when if she put her money behind Chance the Rapper, behind Common, behind Kendrick Lamar, behind J. Cole, behind any of these cats, because it's a million of them out there that's rapping about something other than this violence and this misogynist.
All right, we're going to pause this right here, and we'll see you next episode. Be the light. Peace.